Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys have joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, everyone. You know, this series that we started last week that we're calling When You Pray is a series that came about through discussion among the staff. We were headed a different direction last fall when we began planning for the new year, and the more we talked, the more we thought about it, the more we discussed and considered what we needed to do as we headed in the new year, this idea of prayer became very evident, that we all need prayer. We all should be participants in prayer. And so to kick off this new year, we wanted to do something that would encourage and challenge each of us as followers of Christ headed into this new year and put us in a beginning mindset as we head into 2019 of expecting to encounter God. And the best way to do that is through prayer. And so that's kind of what brought us to this. Another thing, you're going to, throughout this series, in the next series, you're going to hear different voices. It's not going to be Mike all the time. You know, you get to hear me today. Brandon's going to be sharing during this series. Jim's going to be sharing during the next series. And so, you know, pray, when you pray for your leadership, for your pastors, pray for all of us. Because we're all going to be a part of challenging you and encouraging you as we move forward. But today we're going to take the next step in this series that we're calling When You Pray. And today's message is, how do you pray? And that's probably different for each one of us. I've listed several things here. And see if you see yourself in some of these, or which side of some of these do you see yourself as you pray? Do you pray with your eyes closed? With your eyes open? You know, I thought everybody had to pray with their eyes closed, until one time I happened to look up during a service and the pastor's just standing there praying away, his eyes wide open, looking at me. And I'm going, oh, I had to duck my head because I didn't want him to see that I was looking at him. You know, see, the reality is that we can pray the way, with eyes open or closed, or with your head bowed or head up. Same thing. You know, as soon as somebody says, well, let's pray, it's automatic, that neck goes down. Or do you just continue to look up, perhaps? How about out loud or silent? You know, I've asked people to pray in groups, and they go, I don't pray out loud. Why not? Why not? So a lot of us pray out loud. Others pray silently. How about a list or no list? You make a list of things you need to pray for? You know, Mike addressed that last week as we journal. You know, you should have a prayer journal so you can see when God answers those prayers. So a list is good. But what if you don't use a list? What if you just depend on the Holy Spirit to prompt you what to pray for? That's okay too. Repetitious or spontaneous? One thing I have to check myself on is that I pray the exact same way often. You know, the exact same verbiage, the exact same sentences. You know, it doesn't have to be like that. It should be more spontaneous, just like I'm having a conversation with someone. How about only when needed, or, as Scripture says, without ceasing? Are you always in an attitude of prayer that you're ready to pray whenever, or is it just when somebody asks, or just when there's a need? All talk? You do all the talking? Or are you quiet during prayer? Do you listen for God to speak back to you? How about now or later? You know, how many of you have had somebody come up to you and say, hey, will you pray for me? Well, the best way to answer that question is to pray for them. Right there, now. You know, in the moment when they ask for it. But you can pray for them later too. Waiting sometimes, though, becomes a stumbling block for us to forget. Daily? Or Sundays only? The only time I can pray is when I go to church. You know, that's where prayer really happens, inside these walls. And we know that's not true. You know, every day do you have conversation with God? expectantly or wishfully. Expectantly means God's going to do something through these prayers. I'm expecting Him to. Wishfully is, well, maybe I hope. I wish that He would do something in this circumstance. How about selfishly or selflessly? You know, and this can work both sides. Sometimes a lot of us only pray for ourselves. But on the same idea of selfishly, some of us never pray for ourselves. We don't feel adequate, or we don't feel like we're worthy of coming to God and asking prayer for me. You know, I can pray for everybody else all day long. See, even in our selfishness, sometimes it keeps us from encountering God. So think about those things. As we move forward through the scripture today, I want you to think about how do you pray? You know, Barna did some research. Mike showed some of these last week. Just to remind you, silently by myself, that's 82% of us pray silently by ourselves. 13% of us pray audibly by ourselves. Audibly with another person or group, only 2%. You know, I thought about that this week as I'm thinking about throughout my week. You know, there are probably 5 or 6 times that very intentionally I pray with somebody else. Maybe we should do that more often than 2%. Collectively with the church, that's what we're doing now. We're here. When we pray, what do we pray about? Gratitude and thanksgiving. 62% of our prayers, says Barna in his survey, we're thanking and we're being gracious about things in our life. The needs of my family and community, 61%. Personal guidance in crisis, 49%. My health and wellness, 47%. Confession, forgiveness, 43%. That other 57% of you need to do that one a little more. Things I suddenly feel compelled and urged to pray about, just spontaneously. You know, something just enters your mind. Safety in my daily tasks or travel, a sense of peace. Blessings for meals. Many of us do that consistently. Specific requests from others. Concerns about nation or government. We definitely need to up that 24%. Concerns about global problems and injustices. My sleep. You ever thought about just praying for your sleep? Not in your sleep, but to sleep. 12%. Reciting scripture passages, meditations, liturgies, 8%. And then other things, 8%. If you will turn with me to Luke 11, we're going to look at Jesus' instruction to his disciples about prayer. Luke 11, 1 through 13. And we're going to work our way through this passage and look at some ways or how we should be praying as followers based upon what this passage says. Beginning with verse 1 in Luke 11, it says, "It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Verse 5. "And then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you have a friend, and goes to him at midnight and says to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. Will he not give him a snake instead of a fish? Will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, will he not give him a scorpion? Will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This passage starts with a question. Jesus' disciples, this is probably somewhere in the middle of the three-year ministry Jesus had with his disciples here on earth. And they ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. Why would they ask that? They've seen Jesus praying. Okay? Some of them were actually disciples of John before Jesus came onto the scene. They had watched John teach his disciples how to pray. So they asked this question, Lord, teach us to pray. You know, anytime we ask somebody to teach us something, it's because we don't know how, or we're not very good at it. So that question is asked by the disciples to Jesus, and we're going to look at what he told them. We're going to pick it apart. But there are two ways to teach, two general ways to teach anything. You can have A, B, C, D, E's underneath those two things, but one is just a systematic building approach. Okay? You're going to teach things that build on other things. Example, language. What's the first thing you learn in language? You learn the alphabet. And then you build on that. You learn words. And then you learn sentences. You learn paragraphs, etc. Okay? A systematic building. That's one way to teach. Another way to teach is total immersion. You just drop you off and hope you don't die approach. Okay? You want to learn Spanish? Then I'm just going to take you to Mexico, get you off the plane, I'll pick you up in 6 months. That happens. That's probably the best way to learn, because you're forced to learn then. So what we're going to see in this passage is not number one happening. It looks like it is, because Jesus says these different things in what we call the Lord's Prayer. But really what he's telling them, I'm giving you the freedom to pray using these concepts, okay? Use these things I'm teaching you, but you're really not going to learn how to pray till you start praying. You know, what he gives us here is a varsity, a mature prayer. As we get into it and we detail it, think about the way you pray. Is it a mature way of having an adult conversation, or is it just repetitious, something you've memorized that you've learned for the test? See, when you pray, that phrase literally means whenever. There's that expectation of that you pray. Mike said that last week. See, that in this whole series, and that's why we call it that, when you pray, is because there's an expectation that that's what we're doing as believers. It's not a if you pray, it's when you pray. And what does when mean? It means whenever. In the morning, at noon, while you're at work, at the grocery store, while you're driving, when there's a need, when you're prompted with something, whenever you pray this way. Let's simplify the whole model prayer that we just read. All prayer is praising God or asking God. A third of the model prayer is praising God. Two-thirds of it is asking God. I mean, when you break it down that simply, that's what the model prayer is. It's praising God, it's asking God. See, sometimes we make prayer too hard. It's those simple categories that prayer is. So when you pray, praise God. When you pray, ask God. Concepts of how. Let's look. First one, pray relationally. We're going to look at 7 of these. Pray relationally. Verse 1, or actually it's in verse 2, excuse me. It says, Father. 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 That's a relational term. It's a family term. It's a term relationally of authority. Father. And then over in verses 11 through 13, did you catch that? It says that, now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? You see, there's the expectation that the father is going to give a good answer, a good gift. Jesus instructs us to approach God as Father. Says it there. That's how you do it, Father. This is difficult for many because of the absence or the hurtful presence of an earthly father. That's the reality of where we are. All of our fathers aren't like God the Father. They're not. And so we have to have a different perspective if our perspective of Father doesn't look like God the Father. However, what is lacking in our earthly father is found in our heavenly Father. See, if that's your circumstance, your understanding of that relationship is not positive. It's not good. It can be found in a relationship with the heavenly Father. Daddy, Abba, is a more appropriate term to define him. It's more relational even than father. See, we've turned prayer into some sort of technical lock that we have to figure out how to open. We don't think about it being relational. And it is. It's not something that we have to follow. You know, somebody says to pray and you go, man, I don't remember the Lord's Prayer. You know, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, I don't remember all those points that Randy told me. Think about it as talking to a father who wants to answer you well. How do you pray? Pray relationally. Pray honorably. And what I mean by that is giving honor to God. He says, Jesus says, Father, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. A declaration of praise for God's perfect nature. His name's worthy to be set apart as holy. David was an expert at this. Let's look at Psalms 100 real quick. It's a short psalm, but I want you to see how David modeled this. This idea of hallowing God. Psalms 100 says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. You see the excitement, the honor that David's giving back to God in that psalm? That's what this word, hallowed be your name, is. Your name is worthy of honor. We should thank him for the things he's done. We should praise him for the things that he's done. A third thing we see there in the initial part of the model prayer, it says, your kingdom come. Just that little phrase. Now, is Jesus saying to the disciples, you know, pray for this to all be over, and that you come back and you reign on earth? It's not what Jesus is saying. That's what they're thinking as they progress is going to happen. And it will happen. But what Jesus is saying, pray confidently because I'm God. When you come to me, you can pray confidently because the one you're praying to is the one who can present this kingdom. Your kingdom come. See, not our kingdom come, which a lot of times we get in our prayers and we want what we want. But no, see, the emphasis that Jesus puts in this is that your kingdom come. Our desire should be for God's kingdom to come in our prayers. And that's not just for eternity forward or future, but for now, for God's kingdom to come. In my daily life, for God's kingdom to come. For me to experience that and interject that into others' lives. You know, this is a component to communicate our desire for His authority to reign in our hearts and His will to be done in our lives. You know, the Matthew version of the model prayer has that statement. It says, your kingdom come and what? And your will be done. See, that idea is there that I want what you want, God. I want to think and pray about what's important in your eyes. What carries weight. And the cool thing about that is that should give us confidence as we pray. You know, have you ever thought, I don't know what to pray? Pray what God's Word says. We're going to look at that in just a second. Pray confidently that God is the authority. It's not Randy's kingdom to come. It's God's kingdom to come. God's will be done. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is a familiar passage about prayer, and it gives us a picture of that confidence. Warriors in the room? No worries. Outstanding. We'll just skip this passage then. Do not be anxious. Do not worry about anything. How can I have the confidence not to be anxious and to worry about stuff? Because God says, through Paul's words, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, it's through prayer that we overcome those worries, those anxieties in our life. That's Scripture. That's not Randy's idea. How else can we have confidence? The writer of Hebrews says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do we ever find ourselves in time of need? Do we need grace? Then approach the throne of God with confidence. How do we do that? It's through prayer. It's how we approach that throne. We talk to Him relationally as a father. So let us not just pray, but let us approach God with confidence. Now, I really want to challenge those of you who are hesitant about praying. I just don't pray very good, or I don't know what to say. You can be confident as you approach God. God's Word says so. Pray practically. Verse 3 says, give us each day our daily bread. And then he jumps over to verse 5 and says, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers, do not bother me. The door has already been shut. My children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his perseverance, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. All right, now, many times when we read that passage, we put the emphasis on the guy inside the house. Because as Jesus is talking here and talking about prayer, who's the guy inside the house? Who can take care of the need? God is. You know, if you look at it from that perspective, it puts God in a pretty bad light. No, I'm already asleep. God sleeps from midnight to 6 in the morning. So call me back at 6:01. It's not how it works. Now, see, the emphasis in understanding this about prayer is that the guy that's knocking, he perseveres. He keeps knocking until the person inside answers him and gives him what he needs. See, that's how we approach God. We approach Him not only with confidence, but with our practical needs. About 2 weeks ago, I was leaving the church, headed home, had my briefcase. I was going to drop it off at the house because my computer was in there and I was headed somewhere else. So I don't like to leave my computer in my briefcase, in my truck for any length of time without me with it. So I run home real quick, take it in. Truck running. See where this is going. Jump out like I always do, hit the locks on the door, go in, put the briefcase up, come back up to going about my errands. Pull on the door, door's locked. Get another key, Randy. Well, when I bought that truck in 2007, there was only one key with it. And for 12 years, there's only been one key with it. There's never been another key. There won't ever be another key. And so after checking all the doors, okay, think about this in prayer. What can I do to fix this problem? Check all the doors. I mean, if one door's locked, the other doors are locked. But I still checked them just to make sure. So then what did I say? Who can I call to open my door? And I don't want to call anybody. That'll be embarrassing. Not only is my truck locked, my keys locked in my truck, but the truck's running. So I said, God, I need to get this truck unlocked. I really do. I said that out loud standing in my garage. Well, I drive a Ford pickup. My wife drives a Ford Edge. I said, oh, I've got a key to mine's car. It won't hurt to check. So I go in, get the key, come out, jiggle a little bit, boom. Opens. Now, here's the rest of the story. Okay? Now that's a problem. That's a Randy problem that worked. That easily. But my point is being, that was a very practical problem in my life. I needed to get in that truck. I needed to go on. It worked that time. And see, thinking about this message, I'm going, oh, that's going to be a great illustration. You know, I'll go out on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and it won't work at all, and God made that key work. No, it worked every other time I've tried it too. So anyway, if any of you have Ford Edges and want to try my truck when it's locked, you know, it works pretty well. But see, that's, sometimes we forget to ask, and just those practical things. Give us our daily bread. Give me what I need today. Give me what I need in this moment. And keep asking. Ask your request. Seek. You act upon it. I went in and got the key. Won't hurt to try. Okay? If it wouldn't have, I would have kept knocking. Okay, there's got to be another way. I probably would have had to make a phone call. But see, you persist in taking care of that problem. Persistently ask. Stay at it. Keep asking. Persistently ask that the name of God be hallowed in every area of your life. Notice I said that, going back to the model prayer. Don't ask that your problem be fixed. Ask that God be glorified through this. That His name be hallowed through this problem. See, often when we ask, fix the problem, God. No, it's not what God says. He says, hallowed be your name. So, real life situations. Please work in my marriage. My finances, whatever your prayer might be. And then persistently seek. Persistently seek while putting action to your prayers. Go get counseling. Just don't pray about your marriage working. Get some help. Create a budget if finances are your issue. You know, take some action while you're praying. God may want to work through that. That may be how He answers your prayer. And then persistently knock. Persistently locked by prevailing and persevering in prayer. You know, we could probably take the time this morning and you give testimony about persevering in prayer. You've prayed for months. You've prayed for years about topics. You keep knocking. That's the point of that parable that Jesus tells. Keep knocking. God wants to give you what's best for you. Number 5, pray scripturally. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And why do I call that praying scripturally? Well, what is the key message of Scripture? It's the gospel. And what's a key element in the gospel? It's forgiveness. God forgave us, so we forgive others. That's critical to understanding the gospel. Plus, praying scripturally, you don't know what to pray? Go pray God's Word. There's one thing I know about praying God's word. When I think, your kingdom come, your will be done. There's nothing in God's word that's not his will. Find a passage. Pray like Psalms 100. Repeat God's word back to him if you don't know what to pray. We also depend on God for our spiritual provision, not just our earthly provision. We're in desperate need of forgiveness because why? Our sin should be a regular part of our prayers. Staying in union, staying in intimacy with God. Don't let sin separate that. A person who has received God's forgiveness is marked by a spirit of forgiveness, is what that passage tells us. Spurgeon said this, whether we like it or not, this is on your notes, whether we like it or not, asking is the rule of the kingdom. If you may have everything by asking in his name and nothing without asking, I beg you to see how absolutely vital prayer is. It's vital to our lives. Number six, pray believingly. It says, lead us not into temptation. This is an emphasis on keeping us from the very real power of temptation in our lives. We are unfaithful in many aspects of our lives. Remember one of the things that Mike said last week that was a stumbling block in our prayer life? It's that we don't really believe God hears us. We don't really believe that we're just sending words up into the air to float away. That's not what God's word says. It says to believe him, just like we've read this morning. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. See, he wants to provide that way out when you're tempted to sin. God does hear us. He hears what we utter. He hears what we think. He hears us. And that's a hard truth for us to really believe that. Just poor, pitiful little me. That he really hears us. As believers, we know it's right, so we say it. But to believe it in our gut, in the core of who we are, it's a whole other issue. But look at God's word, Psalms 34:17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Psalms 18:6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. That picture of coming, again, approaching God with confidence. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. James 4:2, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Matthew 11:28, come to me, approach me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, wherever you find yourself today and whatever burden you're carrying around, you can approach God with that and give it to him. God, you tell me you're going to hear me. You tell me in your word that you're going to answer me. So I'm coming to you confidently. See, there's some verses you can memorize, verses you can go back to in your own prayer life. The last one, pray freely. And this, I just put all four verses there, because this is, I think a lot of times we get so non-spontaneous in our prayer. We get very rote. This is the way you pray. Dear God, I come to you today. I thank you for my blessings of the day. Be with me throughout the day. And love my family and keep me safe while I travel to Dallas. Amen. We say that all the time. We just fill in different blanks. It's just the same prayer. Praying freely. What do I mean by that? The good news of how to pray, you should not try to systemize this model. See, I don't think Jesus systemized it. I said it at the beginning. I think he's throwing you out there and said, talk to me. Pray to me. don't think you have to do this in a certain order. Maybe you want to begin with asking for provision. That's okay. There's no set order here. There's no formula to follow as you follow the model that Jesus gives us. Feel free. I mean, you may be coming to him with a need. There's no way you can't handle it. God, I've got to trust you with this. I've got to believe you in this. You start with that. Then praise him for who he is, because he can meet your need. Here's a sample prayer. Notice the different hallows throughout that. You're probably not going to use that word when you pray. Okay? Come up with your own word. Glorify. Praise. Glorify your name in my circumstances today. Let yourself be seen great, mighty, powerful, almighty. Give me everything I need today. Why? To see you hallowed. Give me today's portion. Give me today's bread. No more or less than that. So that I might have the strength, mercy, energy, grace, and wits to what? Hallow your name. I want to be able to do that most of all. In every area of my life, when? Today. So at home, at work, at play, in the life of my mind, in the energies of my heart, give me today my daily bread so that I may hallow your name. See, you bring it down, you make it simple. I'm just going to praise you. I know what my needs are. I know how I'm going to fill in the blanks, my own personal needs. But in every aspect of my life, I want to give you glory. And that's what I want to experience from you, is your glory. I think we learn to pray by praying. That's really the only way. And I think Jesus, in giving his followers this model prayer, I believe that's what he was saying. Read between the lines. Okay, I'm going to give you a model to follow because you asked me to teach you. But what you're going to need to do is begin praying. And what do we see throughout Acts? What are they doing? Everything they do, they're praying. They don't all look alike, but they're praying. They're praying. They're praying. And the more you pray, the more you become a prayer, the more you ask for God to be hallowed, the more you give him credit for what he does in your life. I think we learn to pray by praying. Here's a summary, the whole message. Could have just read this. We could have prayed and gone home. We ought to approach him as our loving dad. Declare his goodness and holiness. Ask for his authority and his will for our lives. Recognize and seek his provision for our basic needs. Come humbly before him to seek forgiveness. And request his strength to resist the temptations we are faced with in this life. Questions to consider. They're at the bottom of your note page too. You can take them and think about them. But how does your prayer life need to change based on what you've heard from God's word today? How does it need to change? What can you do to act upon your prayers? Are there some things that you can do that God's already prompted you to do that you said, that's not going to work? You know, that you didn't run back in the house and try minus key real fast. See, a lot of times he puts things in our mind that we can actually do. And who needs your persistent prayers today? Who needs you to keep knocking for them? So think about those this week. And remember, when you pray, it's an expectation that God has. Let me close this. God, thank you so much. We do praise you for who you are, that you allow us to come before you boldly and confidently, even though you're God and we're not. God, we thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for the truth of your scripture. We thank you for the model that you've given us. And God, we do ask, we join together to ask today, provide for us physically, spiritually, for what we need today. And then tomorrow, we'll deal with tomorrow's needs. God, we thank you for who you are in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.